الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويوم يعض الظالم على يديه يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا يا ويلتى ليتني لم أتخذ فلانا خليلا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
Most respected علماء الكرام, brothers and elders, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with intelligence, with aql, and the level of intelligence Allah has blessed insan with is far beyond what any other creation has been blessed with. Other creation also have intelligence, and in their own sphere, their own domain, they are sometimes far more intelligent in that particular aspect, more alert, more sharp, they can perceive greater. But despite all that, there's a point where that's where it all ends. But the greater intelligence Allah has blessed insan with. And therefore this insan has been made responsible, and he is the reason Allah has created this entire universe for. That this insan will come into this dunya, and this aql and intelligence Allah Ta'ala blessed him with, he will now be able to understand clearly and use this correctly and recognize Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He will be able to understand what is the purpose of his existence in this world. An animal is also existing in this dunya. The animal understands his existence in dunya to be perhaps to just eat, drink and procreate. They also have children, and it lives its life. Whatever happens thereafter will happen. That's an animal's life. But Allah Ta'ala created insan, and insan, once he's in this dunya, he doesn't finish off with his existence. His life in dunya will come to an end, but then the main part of life will start. When this life of dunya comes to an end, nobody knows. Our life, we have no idea. Whether we are here today, till this evening, whether we'll see tomorrow, we have no idea. But we are certain that we are going to get to the akhirat. Every person is certain that he's going to sleep in the grave. And what goes on in the grave will depend on how he conducted his life in dunya. And then there's a day of qiyamah coming, where he's going to have to answer for his deeds. It's not the be-all and end-all that he lived his life in dunya and is done. And then, depending on what's the outcome on the day of Qiyamah, then there's Jannat also, and there's Jahannam as well. Allah Ta'ala grant us that Jannat and save us from Jahannam. But all these aspects are dependent on what goes on in this time that Allah blessed us with in this time on earth to make the Akhirat. So what's going to make this everlasting life? That is of crucial importance. Any sane human being, he understands his priorities. If there's some situation, some circumstances have come up where it's going to be either that he can save his money, his wealth, or save his life. So now it will be his normal human instinct that he will save his life. That money, inshallah, will come again. But that life is life, so he'll do whatever he can to save his life. Doesn't matter if that money goes for now. But a mu'min thinks beyond that. It's not that his life is the be-all and end-all. People out in dunya, it's money or life. For a mu'min, beyond life is his iman. That if it's an issue of life and iman, then he'll give preference to his iman. And give preference to what will be the protection of his iman. There's one incident in the annals of history. There was one Khalifa, Mu'tasim Billah. The Umayyad Khulafa, one of the Khulafa was Mu'tasim Billah. He unfortunately, whatever happened, happened. But at the fall of Baghdad, he too was destroyed. He was captured by the Mughal king the conqueror at that time, Halaku Khan. And then he was, despite all the other things that he tried to do to save himself, nothing worked. Finally, he was trampled to death. They wrapped him up in some carpets and got horses to trample him to death. But when he was captured, his slave woman was captured with him. So now the slave woman was brought into this conqueror's, in his place. And now when he saw her, he got so overcome because he hadn't seen anybody with such beauty. So now his intentions started all changing. But she was a person of Iman. She had consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. And now she realized she's in this situation at the mercy of this very evil person. So in any case, he started now trying to now get her attention. So in order to get her attention, he first started over some small talk. Now she realized where this is leading to. So in the process of that small talk, she hatched a plan already. Now this is the lesson to understand that when somebody understands and realizes what is the value of their Iman and what is the value of those things that are attached to Iman, then how they think, how they conduct themselves, what do they do, what don't they do, they don't just conduct themselves like anybody else. Just how the masses are carrying on, they just carrying on. No, they have something very valuable. And that Iman and whatever is attached to Iman, the values of Iman, this is of greatest worth to them and value to them. So in any case, now this fellow started talking some small talk and he's leading things somewhere. And she understands fully well what is his intentions. So now she wants to protect herself, protect her izzat and honor and chastity. She doesn't want to become a victim of this person's evil deeds. But now how does she do it here in this place and time? So in any case, as this fellow got deeper into the conversation, she began saying something. She said, look, I have a ta'weez, an amulet, which my previous master now was killed. He had brought this for me. And this has such an effect that whenever I have it with me, it protects me from anything. If somebody has to try to attack me also, that attack will fail. And no matter if I'm thrown into the deep waters also, I won't drown. Now she's making up one story. So he was very surprised about this. He said, really? He said, if you want to really see the effect of it, then let me show you. I currently have this ta'weez with me. What you do is you take your sword and you strike it hard on my neck here and you see the effect. So he was still so caught up in his own evil intentions and his mind was already gone elsewhere, so he couldn't think straight. And this becomes the effect when a person starts engaging his mind in haram, engaging his thinking in the wrong direction, that his mind can't think straight then. He cannot think rationally. He thinks in a way that puts him into deeper trouble. He thinks in a way that destroys what is already falling. So his mind too was gone. So in any case, he was so caught up in this. So he said, well, very well, if that's how it, let me see. So he took his sword and he struck her hard on the neck. And what was meant to happen, happened. It's completely beheaded her. And the next thing, she was lying dead there. So now he realized what happened. He obviously was very grieved about what happened. But now he came to his senses that this was her plan, that she rather give her life. She knew this fellow is caught up in all this fantasy of his. He can't think straight, so he'll do what I'm telling him. But she gave her life to save her izzat and honor, because that was very valuable to her. That is that haya, that haya is part of iman. So she thought, my life is okay, I can sacrifice my life, but I can't sacrifice my haya. So this was all a story and a plan she made, because she knew she's not going to be saved from this attack of the sword. Her life will go, but rather her life goes and her haya goes. But now this was the thinking of a person who understood the value of iman and what is attached to iman. Not the thinking of somebody who was engrossed in dunya. Somebody whose heart and mind is engulfed about the entertainment of dunya. That person can't think in this way. That person will think of the cheap entertainment of dunya at the expense of even iman. So this is a lesson about iman, that we have to understand the value of this iman. So now this iman is the most crucial thing. As mentioned, this life in dunya, we don't know how long we are around, whether we will see tomorrow or not, we have no idea. But we are certainly going to be in the grave. And then the grave, one day we're going to leave that grave and be resurrected, and we have to answer on the day of Qiyamah. And then there's Jannat also, Allah forbid, Allah save us, there's Jahannam as well. But all that depends on what we do now. How we safeguard this iman, and together with iman, we want the direct entry to Jannat, iman and amal saliha. Throughout the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala has repeatedly mentioned, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ. Iman and amal saliha. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Iman, and together with that righteous actions, person who's steadfast on this and leaves dunya on this, then inshallah he'll go straight to Jannat with the fazl of Allah Ta'ala. But otherwise, Allah forbid, he could now have to go through Jahannam. If he went with iman, he'll certainly go one day to Jannat. Allah forbid, he gets deeper and deeper in sin. When that iman gets lost, that's another severe risk and danger of sin. One sin leads to another, that leads to a third, and people in the process sometimes lose the iman also. So now this is the most crucial thing, iman and amal saliha. And we have to look after this and safeguard it. When a person is traveling somewhere, now he's gone overseas or wherever, and throughout that journey, whatever he does, but he holds on like dear life to his passport and to his money. That now anything else will make do. But if I lose this, I'm in big trouble. But despite that, will create some difficulty, that passport can be replaced in dunya also, and that money can be replaced. But he holds on to it like dear life. Our iman and amal saliha, we have to hold on to even more firmly. Because Allah forbid a person leaves this dunya without that iman, there's no coming back. And that opportunity of amal saliha, once he leaves this dunya, there's no coming back. So now this is what we have to hold on to more than dear life. So what is going to help this iman and amal saliha? That is what has to be enhanced. And what's going to impact on it negatively, we have to protect ourselves from it. Otherwise, Allah forbid, we could have a very disastrous outcome, and at that time we'll regret when it is too late to regret. Allah Ta'ala speaks about such a regret in the Quran Sharif. In one incident which the Quran Sharif mentions, Allah Ta'ala says, وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ. Then on the day of Qiyamah, that day when this zalim, this oppressor, the zalim, this is in a general note, every zalim. But this ayat was referred initially to a specific incident. There was one very prominent person in Makkah Mukarrama among the Quraysh, Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayth. And it was his, because he was a very wealthy person and very high ranking in the society of the Quraysh. So he would do things in his manner. Whenever he would come back from one journey, he would invite everybody and throw a feast. And he would make sure all the very prominent people are there, because now this will give him some status and position as well. So that was the whole idea behind it. And he would ensure that he would invite Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well, because people held Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in high esteem, even the kuffar. So any case, one such occasion came, he invited Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, then he said to him, look, I am not going to touch your food. I will not eat your food unless you accept this kalima, you recite this kalima, la ilaha illallah. Now he was feeling a little embarrassed now to say that, no, I'm not going to recite this. You can go. So he recited the kalima. He was already inclining. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam thought this was a good occasion to now bring him into Iman. So he recited the kalima. So he recited the kalima, this whole event was over, everybody had their meal and left. Now his friend Umayyah bin Khalaf, who was a very staunch enemy of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and is very one of the worst disbelievers of the time, he came to know about it. So he came to him and he said, I heard you've become very poor. We all need to get together and make a collection for you. Now he is one of the richest people around, and now he's telling him, I've heard you've become very poor. This was like the worst insult, because this was the very big attack on his ego. And this is where the ego, if the ego gets attacked and a person has this very huge ego within him, then he'll even give up his iman for the ego. He'll give up anything for that ego. And that is why deen has taught us to be humble slaves of Allah Ta'ala, to take this ego out. So in any case, he got very insulted. And he said, well, I think you now, how come you asking, you doing what Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told you to do, it seems you now wanting his favors, you are now in need. That is why you went down this road. He said, no, that was not the case. I just, to save my face at that time and save the embarrassment, I recited the kalima. He said, I'm not interested in anything you say. I don't believe you. The only time I'll believe you is if you do what I tell you. What do I have to do? So he says, na'uzu billah, you go and na'uzu billah, spit in his face and tell him that I don't accept you, only then I'll believe you. Now for his ego, for his dunya, and the very important aspect in terms of what we are discussing now, because he kept this kind of company. This was his friend, so-called friend in very big inverted commas. Now this is the bond and attachment he had with this kind of friend. So now what the friend tells me I have to do, na'udhu billah, thumma na'udhu billah, he went and did that. But this earned him the perpetual damnation in the Quran Sharif. That Allah Ta'ala says he is the first person that is being referred to here. On the day of Qiyamah, he'll literally chew up his both hands in sorrow and grief. Why did I do this? Why did I oppose the Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Ya laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. How I wish I had never taken that person as a friend. I thought he was my friend. What he made me do? He was offering me freebies to go to Jahannam. Why did I accept what he was telling me? He was telling me, don't become too serious. Many a times people want to do the right thing. So people tell them, but oh, you're becoming too pious. In other words, Allah Ta'ala is saying, ittaqullah, ittaqullah, ittaqullah. Fear Allah Ta'ala. The friend says, no, don't fear Allah Ta'ala. Be with me. But how it said? You're becoming too pious. In other words, don't make taqwa, don't adopt taqwa. What Allah Ta'ala is saying, don't listen, listen to me. That's the kind of friends we have. That's the kind of friendship that's taking us to where we're going. And that's the kind of friends that come in their numbers in this time of the year. Many a person says, I was trying to just stay away from this and the other, and I got bombarded with messages. Where are you becoming like somebody else? Whatever else. Be waiting now, come join us. Everything's all set up. Where are we going here and going there? And now the person got caught up in that, got swept up in that same friendship. So now this Iman and Amal Salihah, which is his ticket to Jannah directly, and without Iman, he's going nowhere to Jannah. And without that Amal Salihah, he could be in serious trouble for a while. Allah knows best how many ages. So now this person did this terrible deed on the basis of this so-called friendship. Allah Ta'ala says, وَيَوْمَ يَعَدُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدِ. On that day, that sorrow, but what benefit? How is that grief going to help him on that day? Now he's lamenting, Ya laytani lam attakhid fulanan khalila. How I wish I didn't take that person as a friend. Laqad adallani ani dhikri ba'da idh ja'ani. That he deviated me from the path of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I already had it. I already was presented with this deen. It was already in my hand. But now he came and snatched it away and deviated me, and I followed him. Now it's time to cry tears of blood, but what benefit? No benefit, too late. So this is that moment that we have to make these decisions. This is the time of that year, that time of the year, where all these temptations come at a peak. And people can't seem to avoid being in places where the environment is so corrupted in terms of iman and amal salihah, far away from anything that is conducive to deen. Rather, the totally opposite kind of environment prevails. But I need to get some bargains, so I also need to attend this fair. I also need to just enjoy myself a little bit. But my family is insisting she wants to go to this fair and that fair, so I need to also be there. And then in the process, many a person comes and says that I got so caught up in all the haram that I was viewing there, or the zina of the eyes that I committed there, that by the time I finished off, I felt all the noor of all the amal drained out, the tilawat I made gone, and I had no zeal to do any righteous deed after that. My salah, jama'ah went away, everything happened. And I got caught up in one sin after the other. What happened? The environment. But for our imani health, our imani safety, we are not concerned about making sure we don't go into environments that are harmful for this iman. Take it for granted, everything is fine. But when the disaster strikes, Allah forbid, it will be too late to cry. So iman and amal salihah, that's the crucial thing. But the things that help that iman and amal salihah is what we have to now keep ourselves to. And what harms it, what affects it negatively, we have to stay far away from it. One of the most crucial things are the environment. The negative environments, the environments of the entertainment places, even the bazaars, marketplace. A person would think, but the marketplace, how do I avoid that? I have to go and do what I have to do, my necessities, buy my things. I have to go and work in such a place. My business is there. Out of necessity, a person would go where he has to go to. But without becoming lax, being conscious of what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا وَأَبْغَضُ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَسْوَاقُهَا. The most beloved of places to Allah Ta'ala are the masajid, and the most detested of places to Allah Ta'ala are the bazaars and marketplaces. The most detested of permissible places are the marketplaces, but where there's no sin and vice in that kind of manner that's happening nowadays, and then where these kind of things take place in the name of, well, some kind of fair or whatever else, and it becomes entertainment, and people just go there in their hordes for some cheap entertainment and some cheap bargains at the expense of their iman, the expense of their amal. They know the kind of environment that is there. They know the nudity that is going to prevail there. They know all the evils that are going to expose themselves to it. People want to go in the middle of the crowds and the nudity on the beaches at this time of the year. You know what goes on. Well, it's holiday time now. But what happens to your iman? Have you the value of your iman? And then there'll be those who say, don't become too pious. In other words, what they're saying, Allah Ta'ala says, ittaqullah. They're saying, la tattaqullah. Na'uzu billah, thumma na'uzu billah. The Quran is saying, adopt taqwa. They're telling you, I'm telling you, na'uzu billah, don't adopt taqwa. Is that the way we want to go? And what if life goes in that moment? And sooner or later life is going. We have to get back to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Keep in the right environments. Stay away from the environments of sin. We know the Hadith Sharif very well. We've heard it repeatedly about the person who committed 99 murders and then finally 100 murders. But he was still searching. Somebody now who will guide me. So he came to some learned person. He asked him, is there any path of salvation for me, tawbah for me? He said, yes, you leave this place, you go to the certain place where there are pious people and you join them, you make sincere tawbah, Allah will take care of your whatever you've done, but you have to leave this place. Because where you live, this is a place of people who are engaged in sin. You go to this new place, and then he says to him, وَلَا تَرْجِعْ إِلَىٰ أَرْضِكَ فَإِنَّهَا أَرْضُ سُوءٍ. You don't return to your place. Because this is a place of sin and vice. Now the person was told, you leave this place, you are already here, you leave it and go out of here. When this time of the year comes, people are looking for the places of sin and vice to go to. They are not there, they are searching which place has got more sin and vice. The total opposite situation of what is being told to us in the Hadith Sharif. So if we have value for our wealth, we put layers and layers upon of security for it. And sometimes something they say, this is too valuable to just leave in the home. They want a vault in some place. That this has to be secured even more. So for that material possessions, even the security layers of that one after the other in our homes is not enough. It needs some vault somewhere. But iman can be exposed to any kind of evil environment, any way where zina of the eyes will be the order of the day and night, and Allah forbid what next it will lead to, and all kinds of other evil and vices will be the way. But that doesn't matter. Iman can be exposed anywhere. That's not the way we have to go. We have iman. Allah has blessed us with this greatest wealth. This is what we have to hold on to more than dear life. Because life is going to go sooner or later. But if iman goes, a whole hereafter, perpetual hereafter is then in destruction. So to keep ourselves in the right environment, keep ourselves in the right amal. Unfortunately, when the time comes when it's more dangerous, like these kind of situations, the so-called holiday times, then we drop our protection even more. When a person is in a dangerous place, he wants more protection. He's living in a place where the crime is high, he's putting higher boundary walls and he's putting an electric fence on top of it. And he's putting alarm systems because he wants more security because the dangers are higher. When the imani risks are growing, when the threats to his amal are greater, somehow now because it's holiday time, he's on a break, so he leaves his salah with jama'ah, which is such a great protection for a person. He says, now we'll see, now it's on holiday. Then his tilawat he was doing regularly, he stops his tilawat. Or he cuts it down. He was making zikr very often, that too has stopped. These were the things protecting his iman. Now it's more dangerous and he is shedding all the security. So what becomes the outcome of it then? By the time that so-called holiday season has passed, he is drained completely spiritually as well. And then to wake up again and move, sometimes some don't ever wake up. We have to look after our iman, look after our amal, look after our families. And now it's not just something casual happening out there. There's a direct attack on iman, direct attack on deen. We have to become super conscious. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq. We keep in the environments of righteousness, keep in the right company, and we look after ourselves and others around us. Inshallah, this will be the greatest investment we can make for now and for our everlasting future. Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.